Hello and welcome to another edition of the Advent IM podcast, Risk and Business. Today we're recording, as you may guess from some of the background noise, live from IFSEC and very kindly squatting on the Security Institute stand where they've given us some space to do this podcast. I'm absolutely delighted today to be joined by Rob Allen from Kingston Technologies. Hi Rob.
Hi Mike, pleasure to be here.
So we're going to be talking about a range of what we think are interesting ideas around the changes that have happened, around hybrid working, the post-COVID era, the new normal, and hopefully you'll enjoy listening along. So, Rob, why don't you start by giving our listeners a little introduction to yourself and Kingston?
Yeah, so I work in the marketing and technical services area, so I head up the whole of marketing and the whole of the technical services, so customer services, RMA, TRG, and in marketing it's a whole suite of departments from B2B, B2C, PR and so forth. And that's for the whole of EMEA. Kingston itself, our core areas are our flash and memory products, and we tend to stay within those realms. So as a company we've been 35 years and we've never really stretched outside of that area. And a small part of that business is our encrypted USB line, which is why we're in that cybersecurity space as well.
And I mean, we've seen a massive shift in the workforce in the last 3 years, from organisations that were predominantly office-based to organisations that even now that we're, you know, learning to live with COVID, as they keep telling us, are absolutely still working in a hybrid environment with huge amounts of empty office space and the majority of their workforce working from home. That's got to bring about its own security challenges in terms of data management and data movement.
Absolutely. I think what happened was it was more about the continuity of business. So the pandemic forced that mobile workforce. But I think now we're backtracking and starting to realise that we need to have some kind of data integrity. The issue, I think, for a lot of organisations was the speed and the scale in which they moved to be a mobile workforce, and then having to get some kind of consultation in to see how they can actually deal with all the cyber issues, because cybercrime has exploded in recent years. I heard some kind of statistic that it's 700% growth in cybercrime. So that's a big challenge.
Well, the cyber criminals are fantastically adept at adapting to whatever's happening in the world at that point in time. You know, I personally, during the first lockdown, I saw a massive increase in the number of emails and text messages that were all parcel related, because of course we're all shopping from home. So they're incredibly good at adapting to what's going on in the world, and we're seeing that. You know, this isn't some kid in a back bedroom. These are serious international organized crime gangs who are, the estimate from Action Fraud is we're talking about billions if not trillions of pounds worth. So it's high net gain for these criminals.
Yeah, I heard another stat, and I don't know if you're more in this space than I am, and I heard it was going to be $10 trillion by 2025. So that's incredible. and something needs to be done about it. We need to change the way we think about cybercrime. I read another interesting stat. T-Mobile has been hit over and over and over again. And they have tried their very best to put in cybersecurity measures in place, but they still fall foul of that. And it's a question for me, why is that? Why do they keep falling foul of similar things?
Do you think part of that is that we're still, many organisations, what we're seeing, are still primarily focusing on technology as being the solution, but not spending an adequate amount on good quality education?
Yes, I do see it. I mean, our organisation, we've done very well in that space, where we've relied on external consultants to come in and give us that advice, whether it's from data governance to training. And what we found is we've got to give our employees, because I do feel that humans are typically the weakest link, we've got to give our employees a kind of education where they can also use those principles in their home life.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, I've been attacked by, you know, a whole range of companies where I'm going, is that a scam or is it not? Is it a phishing email or is it not? And through doing those trainings, I'm more aware of some of the things you you need to be look out for.
On the news this morning, I was listening to an article where they were talking about phishing emails. You were talking about the massive increase in phishing mm-hmm. emails. And they were saying that Google alone are filtering out about 90% of the phishing emails that are being targeted at us. But that is still, that 10% is still over a billion emails.
I know, it's incredible. And I did see some interesting stats from our IT department where they're showing how many emails are being filtered out. And it's also challenging for the marketing people as well, because they want to get those emails in and make them look authentic.
Of course, yeah. You know, so. Yeah, so marketing are really struggling. And, you know, we've got it in our company, other marketers we're talking to, because they are saying that people are ramping up the sensitivity of spam filters as a protective measure, but that's filtering out a lot of legitimate stuff as well. I mean, I've even missed emails from clients because the spam filter has decided that it looked a bit dodgy.
Yeah, and we've seen it on the flip side from the marketing perspective. We've seen where these email security suites are actually deploying bots onto the email, and they're clicking through on everything and clicking through on assets, and you know, as a marketer, you're looking at it and you're going, wow, that's a fantastic campaign, look at those results, look at those open and click through rates. But all it is these email security suites deploying bots.
So, I mean, everybody's talking about artificial intelligence now.
Yes, interestingly, there was another one that popped up on my feed about chat, GPT, and them themselves also having been hacked towards the end, or at least PII data was being displayed out there openly. AI, yes, there's a lot of negativity around it, and there's a lot that where we're trying to work across countries and get some kind of regulation in place. It is exciting on one side, for sure. But again, it's something that we need to, from a cybersecurity aspect, need to be prepared for, because they can deploy all sorts of bots and information techniques to try and break through an organization's security.
And do you think part of the challenge that we've got going forward, and you mentioned regulation, is when new technology comes along, for us to be able to develop it and deploy it legitimately, we have to go through a whole process of development, approval, regulation, deployment into the market. Whereas from a nefarious point of view, I've got a new piece of technology, I can start using it for bad reasons straight away. I can cut through all of the red tape.
Yeah, I do believe that we need to look to organizations like the National Cybersecurity Center to have some kind of appraisal, some kind of assurance scheme to tick box and go through due diligence on anything that gets launched. And I think one of the challenges for a lot of IT companies, like we said, we accelerated through the pandemic to deploy remotely. And you know, and then there's a whole wealth of apps that people use and leverage, which are sometimes small companies. So us as an organization, we have a compliance and a legal team. We collaborate with, you know, the accounts team as well. And we say, look, we would like to deploy this new software. It's excellent. It will give us this much of an advantage. Yeah. But they might come back and say, you know, that's a very small company. When we looked into their GDPR and ePECA type regulations, they're very weak. So you're right. I mean, you've got to be really, really careful.
I know when I worked in, before Advent, I worked for a security reseller. And we used to deploy a lot of security products into government sites. And at the time, you were only allowed to install an accredited product. But for a product to go through accreditation took, you know, 6-12 months. The vulnerabilities were coming along faster than the product was being reaccredited for deployment. And we were actually, bizarrely, being forced to deploy what we knew was a vulnerable system because the newer system wasn't accredited.
Yeah, we need to speed that whole cycle up.
Yeah.
And we have the same issues in our organization when we want to buy in IT, that we have to go through a data process impact assessment and all these checks. And by the time we got all the way through all these checks, we've lost that competitive edge.
Yeah.
So that whole cycle needs to speed up. And I'm talking from experience here, you know, buying these tools. I also think we need help from people in that space to somehow quantify the risk, because sometimes it's a matter of quantifying the risk and saying, yes, we can move forward and we can tick that box at a later stage, but providing we're not putting anybody at risk. There's no sensitive data involved and so forth.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because really, everything we do in the security world, whether we're talking about physical security, we're talking about cyber security, we're talking about product security, or we're talking about people security, should all be balanced against an understanding of risk. And I mean, do you feel, you know, looking around you at your fellow senior managers, and not just within your organization, but across the industry, do you think people out there genuinely understand security risk?
The way I see it is that, and I can't talk for everyone, is that sometimes it's a tick box exercise, yeah, where, you know, you have a risk log, you go through it, and you say, yes, I've done that. Where we've been successful is the training of employees, but where we could get better as an organization is literally reviewing our setup. We might be ISO 27001 or NIST compliant, but what you need is to have people actively, yeah, on that board and realizing it's never going to happen to us, but it could happen to us.
Yeah.
And putting a bit of budget aside for it and a bit of excitement around the whole topic.
And that living and breathing it is, yeah, sort of part of everybody's daily activities. And I can remember, you know, when I first got into quality management, the buzzword at the time was, you know, quality is everybody's responsibility. Mm-hmm. Since then, we've seen the same thing come through with health and safety management. Health and safety is everybody's responsibility. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of just not quite there with security. It's, yeah, still, we're still pointing to that small team of security specialists and going, it's their problem.
Yeah. And that's why I tend to say to everyone, although we have our own compliance legal teams and so forth, I always say we should go outside, get the experts in, because this space is changing so, yeah, quickly. Like we said beforehand, it's going to be a $10 trillion space, and you need the people that live and breathe it all the time, that are aware of what's trending, bring it into the workplace and be able to communicate that in an effective way that gets people on board. And that's, I think that's my big message, my big tip for most people.
We've talked actually a number of times on this podcast about communication. Mm. And I think it's fair to say that a lot of people who are pure security are not always great communicators. And yet organizations continue to say, oh, you're therefore in charge of the security education. So we're putting people who are highly technical, not great communicators, in charge of communications, yeah, and education.
Yeah, you've got to keep it simple, and you've got to give people that to embrace it. They've got to be able to see what's the value. What value is it for me?
Yeah, give them that. So
I see
what?
That at home. Yeah, that. You know, how can I apply this in my normal day-to-day life? And like you said, there's so many flaws. If this hybrid working has led to all sorts of things. We have a case study around TFL about digital devices being lost and how that's grown exponentially over the last few years. And I think it's this hybrid breaking a routine,
yeah,
you know, not being in the office 5 days and then suddenly, oh, I'm in the office today, I'm not, and then being forgetful. We've all been there. And also, you know, just having the tools to work from home as well.
And we know that these groups that we're talking about, you know, whether it's the phishing emails or, you know, the SMS and WhatsApp scams or whatever, we know that they're relying on exactly that. People being out of routine, people being confused, people being disconnected.
Yep.
They're relying on people trying to check their emails in between Teams meetings. Because, yep, I'm pretty sure, yep, there's a lot of our listeners out there, like me, will find themselves on some days literally having seconds between one Teams meeting and another for the whole day.
Yeah.
And I'm as guilty as anybody that I'll be there hanging up one Teams meeting, down into the next Teams meeting, while still trying to do my emails at the same time. And that confusion and that lack of concentration is exactly what they're relying upon.
I'm exactly the same as you, because that's why I go into the offices most days, is because I'm on a lot of calls. A lot of Teams calls, video calls. If I'm in a meeting room, I give it my full attention. Otherwise, I'm there, and you do things quickly. You don't give that email your full attention and say, oh, I'll just quickly click on that.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all it takes. I'm with you on that.
So maybe we need to rethink our education around that as well, about giving staff the skills they need. So it's not just about rolling out a policy that says, right, you're now hybrid or you're now a home worker. It's actually giving them genuine skills that they can utilize to help them to organize their day in a way that they can remain effective and protect themselves from falling foul to some of these scams.
Yep, I'm a firm believer in education, and there are a lot of providers out there where they do offer some great online tools where you learn about phishing, malware, bite-sized tools. And you want to keep it short and concise, you know, so you've got their attention for 15 minutes or so, or 15, 20 minutes. And maybe a little test at the end of it. I think it's very valuable. And I think most employees will appreciate that because they will learn something that they can take home and pass on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think also, you know, coming back to the leadership level, is we've got to make that education both palatable and interesting to them, and actually be able to go back to senior leaders and say, this is why it's important to you. This is what it's going to mean for you, rather than just giving them the same old, you know, 20 minutes of e-learning every year, year after year, and expecting them to be excited about security.
That's why I always believe in going external, get those people in that space who are experts and great communicators that can come in, explain what's trending, and not just scaremonger. I find everything cybersecurity-wise is scaremongering. It should be, there are different aspects that we should be looking at, methodical approach at this, you know, look at your most sensitive data, tackle that first, put in measures and controls, and then work from there.
Yeah.
And bring them on board and let them be involved in that whole process, but don't make it a paperwork.
You don't want to scare them to death.
Yeah.
To the point to which they then disengage again because
Correct.
They're so scared.
Yeah, yeah.
And the language has to be attractive enough that they're, you know, they are leaning forward, look interested, engaged, that side of things.
Yeah.
I did an hour and a half board briefing to an NHS board recently, and I was really pleased because at the end of that, they did say, we found some of this a little bit scary.
Yeah.
But more importantly, what you've done is given us a lot of food for thought about things we can do to improve. And that's what I was looking for, is that to have that hook they're coming back to their team now and saying, okay, tell us more. What do we need to know? How do we need to do this? How do we fix this?
Yeah.
And part of that was a really interesting conversation about the system life cycle and moving away from buying IT as a capital expenditure and actually understanding that we have to be resourcing and funding security almost as a business as usual expense.
Yeah.
And it's almost an expendable expense that needs to be continuous now.
Absolutely, I think it should be part of that whole portfolio of a company, and you've got to have that business continuity, and that's why I keep saying we need experts in this field to find that balance. Business continuity and being secure and having a roadmap on how you want to achieve that.
It is, absolutely. It's the balance between risk and security.
Yeah.
And continuity, resilience, security, but also people still being able to do their jobs.
Yeah, and I think someone mentioned it earlier, not to inhibit at all, you know, because it's human nature, they'll always find a workaround, and that could be more detrimental, you know. So, yeah, it has to be thought through and done diligently.
I remember in the early days of the first lockdown talking to a client of mine. They obviously had sent a lot of people home, but they didn't have enough monitors. And somebody had suggested, well, they can plug their computer into their smart TV. And the security team had immediately reacted by saying, are you silly? That's connected to the internet. And we had a conversation and said, yeah, it's connected to the internet via the same router we're about to let them work from home on. And the security people kind of went, ah, yeah.
Yeah,
got a point there. And sometimes I think with security people, they're so focused on the technical risk, the technical threat, that they're not really thinking about the real world problems.
Yeah, and I think over the years we've had your bring your own device type concepts, and there are tools and VPNs that you can deploy to overcome some of those risks. But again, it's down to having a data security type policy in the company, and that education, and a proper process in which, okay, this segment of employees are going to have certain controls because they are going to have that hybrid working. It's got to be thought through.
Granular, appropriate, proportionate, cost effective, and flexing to where the risks are the biggest risks.
Yeah. I wish I could say it that way, but
we have to say this. It's like, you know, if you're working on highly sensitive personal information, maybe you want a bit more security wrapped around that.
Yeah.
But if you're working in marketing and comms and PR, you know, 99% of your job is getting information out there in the public domain. So why inhibit those people to the same level?
Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. We need to enable where it's appropriate.
Yeah. And I think all of that comes back to our senior leaders having a better understanding of information and security risk.
Yeah.
And to do that, we've got to get our security people to be better communicators. or perhaps using our communication people to help us with the communication.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea because there are certain individuals within our organisation that are great at deciphering technical content and delivering it in layman terms. And yeah, you do need that. You need someone with that skill set, and especially in multinational organisations where, you know, English is not their native language as well. So you have to be mindful of how people perceive what you're trying to get across to them.
Yeah, of course, language barriers as well.
Yeah. Cultural, language, everything along those lines, for sure. Yeah.
Brilliant. Rob, thanks very much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it. This has been the Advent IM podcast, Risk and Business, live from IFSEC 2023.